our Old Testament reading, Zephaniah chapter 2, and we'll read just the first three verses. Hear the word of God. Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. So the people of God are exhorted to seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth. James 1, 21 through 25, our New Testament reading. Again, the word of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The word of God. You may be seated. I'm entitling the message this morning, How to Profit from Being Born Again. Earlier this year, evangelist Billy Graham went home to be with the Lord. He was a beloved figure in American evangelicalism, known around the world for his citywide crusades. Christ was central to his message, and multitudes of people came to faith under his ministry. Early in his ministry, he hosted a radio show, Hour of Decision. His evangelistic organization published Decision magazine. He wrote dozens of books, including his 1977 book, How to Be Born Again. The title of this work is unfortunate, as it implies that a sinner is born again as a result of a personal decision that he made. No doubt because of the influence of Graham's popular title, a few years later, a well-known Christian music group recorded a song which included the words, "Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that we can be born again." Now, God's word does call upon us to make decisions. Moses said to Israel, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Deuteronomy 30. Joshua challenged the people with the words, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Joshua 24:15. Jesus said, "Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Luke 10:42. Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Acts 16. Surely God's word requires us to make decisions, to choose between following Satan and following Christ. But is it true that a sinner can be born again by making a decision? Christians need to think carefully. The Bible doesn't say you can be born again, just make a decision for Christ and you're good to go. In fact, it doesn't say you can be born again, but you must be born again. John 3, verse 7. Those are the words of Christ. What he was telling Nicodemus is that because all fallen human beings are fallen in Adam, they are spiritually dead and in need of spiritual rebirth. How is spiritual rebirth effected? A sinner must be born of water and of the Spirit, or he cannot enter into heaven. The new birth is the work of the Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. Well, what causes him to regenerate a person? The Bible doesn't say. Why does he regenerate one person and not another? Again, the Bible doesn't say. The Spirit's regenerating work is mysterious from the human vantage point. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. John 3, verse 8. The Spirit's regenerating work is compared to the wind. The wind blows wherever God sends it to blow. Man can do a lot of things. He can split the atom. He can fly a supersonic jet. But he cannot control the wind. And he cannot control God's Spirit. All of us know a lot of spiritually dead sinners that refuse to come to Christ. We would love to see them come to Christ. But they do not want to come to him. They do not want to submit. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. Spiritually dead sinners go the way that seems right to them. And if they do not come to Christ, they die and go to hell. We can urge them. We can plead with them. We can show them the benefits of coming to Christ. But we cannot change their hearts. Only the Spirit of God can change a heart. In the end, all we can do is pray. But actually, prayer is the best thing that we can do. Pray that God will have mercy upon them and regenerate them. As John explains, those who are born again are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. None are not born again by the will of the flesh. God alone can regenerate the spiritually dead sinner. Well, our text this morning is written to Christians, James's beloved brethren. Verse 19, these are men and women who formerly were spiritually dead, but now have been brought forth by the word of truth, the gospel, through the work of the Holy Spirit. This was wrought by God's own will. Verse 18, the work of regeneration is likened to the male role in sexual intercourse. The male is the initiator. The female is the responder. The male deposits his seed. The female receives the seed. And so verse 18 tells us, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Here is a wonderful truth. Though we were spiritually dead, having inherited the guilt of our father Adam's first sin, though we were without hope and were totally apart from God, though our hearts were darkened, though we were going down the wrong path, the path that leads to eternal damnation, though we were enemies of God, unreconciled, though we did not know God or love him, God took the initiative of his own will. He brought us forth by the preaching of the gospel. He played the part of the male. He deposited his seed, and we were born again. In our text this morning, that seed is called the implanted word. And that's a very precious thing. James has exhorted us, and we looked at this last week, to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That is to be our attitude with regard to preaching. We should be quick to hear the word preached. We should be slow to speak, but to be still and know that it is God's word to us. We should calmly receive it and not angrily refuse it. The only way that a person can so receive the word is by the regenerating work of God's Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is powerful and can change the hardest heart. If you are a born-again child of God, you are called upon to do three things. First, reject the worldview of the ungodly. Reject the worldview of the ungodly. James says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. These are very expressive phrases. We live in a wicked culture, a culture that is at war with God. As the Apostle Paul said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. We are, as the Lord taught us, the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. Matthew 5, 14. We live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2, 15. Human beings are social creatures. We cannot help but interact with people around us. Even men that want to be hermits and want to go off and live in a cave somewhere and not be dependent upon anyone else, even men like that had to learn how to speak at their mother's bosom. As infants, we are cradled in our mother's bosoms. We learn our language by listening to her voice. Our fathers and mothers are our role models. We learn what it is like to be human by growing up in a family. We adopt its values. This week I read the story of Isaac Munji, a pastor in Kenya who is trained at Kuiper College in Grand Rapids, the college that used to be called Reformed Bible College. When Isaac Munji was 7 years old, his parents divorced. This forced his mother to raise him and his two sisters in a one-room mud shack in the slums of a very poor village where the majority of women were single mothers and practiced prostitution. His family survived on one meal a day and at times one meal every other day. He could not afford to go to school. He grew up with a lot of anger toward his father and toward relatives who refused to help the family. He worked odd jobs and at times stole food in order to eat. His life was totally changed when he met a kindly school teacher who took him under his wing and took him to church. By God's grace, he did not adopt the values of his father who rejected him, or of his mother who taught him to pray but not to Christ, or of his neighborhood where poor mothers sold their bodies so as to provide for their families, but rather the values of a Christian church that cared for a fatherless boy. He was enabled to get a Christian education and now pastors a thriving church as well as running ministries that rescue street children. We can be thankful for the amazing grace of God. But all of us grow up in a society that exhibits certain values. While because of common grace, there are good things such as a general respect for law and order, parents caring for their children, and children honoring their parents, there are also bad things such as lying, stealing, rebellion, materialism, preoccupation with sex, and the neglect of God. The Bible tells us to be discerning and to seek what is excellent. And while there are those qualities in a society that arise from a concern for what is excellent in the arts, letters, manners, and scholarly pursuits, what we define as culture, there are also those sinister forces that preach hedonism, love of self, disregard for others, living for the present moment, and following our baser instincts. There are voices all around us in the media, music, education, and government that preach that God is irrelevant and that the whole purpose of life is to live for self, captured in the slogan, "You only go around once, grab all the gusto you can." If that you is a father who yearns to be free of the obligations of family and children so he can pursue a new love interest that seems more promising at the moment, so be it. The only thing that really matters is to the self-centered ideal is one's own happiness, no matter how many others may be hurt along the way. Sadly, the culture all around us spews out all manner of filth. The filthy lyrics of rap music with its sexual innuendo and put down of women, of movies and books that push sexual pleasure and self-gratification for the moment, of magazines and websites that pander to the basest instincts of human sexuality. As Christians, we are not to be polluted by the filthiness and rampant wickedness of our culture. We must be discerning. We have our marching orders, expressed by Paul in Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Christian, by God's grace, you have come to Christ. You have been brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the glorious liberty of the children of light. And yes, the chains of darkness are real chains, if only figurative, because we know that they lead in the end to death. But we've been brought into the glorious liberty of the children of light. We have been delivered from the filthiness and bondage of the world. Why should we be like a dog returning to its vomit? Christian, you belong to Christ. He offers so much more. What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you reading? What are you thinking about day and night? You have been brought forth, as James tells us in verse 18. You've been born again by the word of truth. Your eyes have been opened. You have a new nature. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Not only restrain it and keep it in, but put it off and throw it away as a filthy rag. As a grandfather, I've had to learn to empty my wastebasket when the grandkids come over. I've thrown something away. I've decided I don't want it or need it anymore. I'm done with it. As cute as a grandchild might be, I don't want her to reach down into the wastebasket and resurrect some worthless item that I've already discarded. I don't want to go through the whole process of saying, "Why do I have this? Why am I keeping this?" Right now, at this moment, I am making the self-conscious decision to be done with this item, to throw it away. There, I can breathe easy. My life is so much simpler as a result. Christian, that is what we must do with the whole ungodly worldview. Formerly, it consumed us. It was the air we breathed. We bought into it, hook, line, and sinker. And it certainly pervades society, and it pervades even the church. I talked with a man last night who attends one of our sister churches. He and his wife were not raised in Christian homes. But by God's grace, they're following Christ now. They began to live together as teenagers. A child was born. There was no thought at that time as to the morality or rightness or wrongness of what they were doing. Many people today live together without marriage. Why shouldn't they? The common received wisdom of our day says, live together first. See how it goes. Make sure you're compatible. You can get married later on if you want. Sounds reasonable, but what does the Bible say? Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Romans 13:13. ESV. Christian, you are to utterly reject the worldview of the ungodly. You must continually train yourself to think like a Christian. Secondly, receive with meekness the implanted word. The Christian is born again by the grace of God. Implanted is a functional equivalent to being born again. There are a number of synonyms for being born again in the Bible, and implanted is one of them. In conception, the zygote is passive. Neither you nor I nor anyone else had any say in our own conception. That was determined by our parents. They loved each other and wanted to bring a child into the world. In a similar way, a seed which is sown is passive. It does not determine the timing of the sowing. That is totally up to the farmer's discretion. The seed does not send reminders to the farmer's calendar with a notice that pops up on his computer screen, time to plant the seed. The seed does not call out from the seed packet, hey, plant me now. So now you are born again. By God's grace, you have been brought from darkness to light, from the kingdom of darkness into God's marvelous light. You used to live for self. You gratified yourself with sinful pleasures. You lived for the moment. You thought about God very little. You rejected his claim to be Lord. You wanted to run your own life. You followed your own values. Sin didn't bother you. You actually enjoyed it. But by God's grace, the blinders came off. One day you realized your danger. It dawned on you that if you died without Christ, you would go to hell. You quaked under the thought of the righteous wrath of God. By his grace, the Christ of the Bible began to take on an incredible sweetness. His gospel, that he, the righteous one, came into the world to save sinners, including you, began to mean everything to you. You began to hunger and thirst for righteousness, truth, and beauty. Christ became for you very desirable. You began to understand, at least to a degree, what the psalmist meant when he said, there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Psalm 73:25. If you love God and desire to keep his commandments, then that is evidence that you are born again. And if you've been born again, then the Spirit of God has planted his word within you. This is a change on the inside. Aside from a smile on your face and a glow on your countenance, you don't look any different. But the Spirit has wrought a work within you. Like the wind blowing wherever it will, the Spirit has begun a work, imperceptible at first, that is actually a profound, fundamental change. Before, you had no appetite for spiritual things. Now, you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Before, you didn't want God running your life. Now, that's what you want more than anything else. Before, you didn't want to be around Christians. Now you hunger for Christian fellowship. Before, sermons bored you. Now you look forward to preaching. And brothers and sisters, it's not because I'm such a riveting speaker. It's because what you're being taught by God's grace is the Bible, the exposition of the Word of God. By the grace of God, you have become meek in the biblical sense. You have been enabled, as our Old Testament text puts it, to seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Zephaniah 1, verse 3. So now you're born again. You belong to Christ. You have reasonable assurance he's saved you. The church has heard your testimony and judged it to be credible. So what are you to do? Receive with meekness the implanted word. Here is a call, week by week, to live by faith. Realize that you have been given an incredible gift. By the grace of God, the soil of your heart has been prepared. The seed has been planted. Just as in conception, the female is passive, receiving the seed, so in regeneration, the regenerate sinner is passive. You did nothing to earn the new birth. You did nothing to deserve it. It is a precious gift given by God's grace. You've been born again. Now receive the implanted word with meekness. It has been put into your heart by the blessed Spirit of God. Now it needs to be mixed with faith by you, the hearer. It needs to be incorporated into you. It needs to become natural to you, second nature, if you will. It needs to take deep root in you. It needs to bring forth much fruit. Christian, receive the word with meekness. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. The worldling gets angry when he hears the word of God. The thought of a righteous God, sovereign over all things, making demands on his life, is too much for him. When confronted with the claims of God, he is likely to get angry, saying with the Jews of old, "We will not have this man to rule over us." Christian, your job is to receive the word with meekness, to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." To say, "Yes, sir, I am yours. I am all ears. Just tell me what you would have me to do. I will obey." Thirdly, respond with good works. James says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." The Word of God is not a list of theological propositions that are merely to be assented to. It is not a discourse on philosophy that is to be appreciated merely for its beauty and then forgotten. No, the Word of God is a call to action. It is to be put into practice. God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He must be first. He is not one God among many. He is the only true God. He will tolerate no rivals. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." We must only and always worship him in the manner he has appointed in his word. Nothing may be added. Nothing may be omitted. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." God at all times must be held in reverence and esteem in our thoughts and words. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. One day in seven is to be dedicated to him. Honor thy father and thy mother and all those in authority, even when we don't feel like it. "Thou shalt not kill." All of human life is to be kept sacred. We are not even to hate our brother in our heart. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." We are all of us to keep ourselves sexually pure. "Thou shalt not steal." We must respect private property. and keep our hands off. Thou shalt not bear false witness. We must set a watch over our lips and not destroy our neighbor's reputation, even by innuendo. Thou shalt not covet. We must not grieve over the good of our neighbor, but at all times be content, perfectly content. Are we born again? Then we must dedicate ourselves to a life of good works, which are always those which are in accordance with God's law. Returning to the story of Isaac Munji, the Kenyan pastor trained in Grand Rapids, he has, by the grace of God, been able to start ministries to street kids. He has houses, one for boys, one for girls, maybe more than one. Kids, much like himself as a youth, poverty-stricken, unable to go to school, living on the streets, living by their wits, trying to make it. There's a photo of some smiling adolescent girls standing by Isaac's wife, posing for the camera, happy. The Bible tells us to care for the fatherless and widows. What Isaac is doing is simply an outgrowth of the Christian faith. He's showing not only the handful of kids that he's able to reclaim from the streets, but also the whole town, the whole city, that Christians care, that we want to show the love of Christ. Well, how should you profit from being born again? Reject the worldview of the ungodly. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Respond with good works to the glory of God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we know that being born again is a tremendous gift. We know, Lord, that there's no understanding of the Scriptures without it. All the PhDs and philosophers and highly trained men and women of this world cannot understand the Bible unless they are born again, born from above. Lord, we thank you that you have put a love of your word in our hearts. We thank you that you've put a love of your Christ, the incarnate word, in our hearts. Lord, we know that we do not perfectly measure up. We know, Lord, that each one of us still has to struggle daily against the motions of sin in our members. But we thank you, Lord, that by your grace we have been given a new nature. By your grace we have been brought to love you. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Help us as we live out our faith. Help us, Lord, not just to sit on so great a gift, but to act upon it. We pray these things now in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.